Support for IPR comes from Orchestra Iowa, presenting the movie E.T., the extraterrestrial on the big screen, accompanied by the Symphony Orchestra performing the score live, May 3rd and 4th at 7:30 at the Paramount. Tickets at orchestraiowa.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. There are so many children's books out there to choose from, and there are few things quite as satisfying as picking just the right book for a child that you love. So today, as the gift-giving season begins, our guests are going to help you do just that. With me today, Amanda Lepper of Dog-Eared Books in Ames. Hello, Amanda.
Hi, Charity. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Well, I'm so happy to have you here. We also have Louise White of Paper Moon Books in McGregor. Hello, Louise.
Hello, Charity. Glad to be with you.
Well, I'm very happy to have you here. And Iowa City-based teacher librarian Devin Redmond is also here. Hello, Devin.
Hi, Charity. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for being here. And Amanda, I think I'm going to let you start today. And we are going to start the hour with the books for the youngest readers in our lives. We're going to talk about board books, picture books, and then we'll just move up through the years chronologically as we go through the hour. But why don't you start us off with your first pick, Amanda?
Great, yeah. I love this really innovative, chunky, oversized board book called Caution, Roadsides Ahead. Anyone who has driven around with kids in the car, know they pepper you with questions on what does that sign mean? What is that? What are we just passing? Lots and lots of questions. This is written by Tony Buzio and Chi Birmingham. It is for transportation-obsessed children.
And there are a lot of them.
Yes, there are. There are. It's great to bring along in the car. It's 86 pages. It sounds like a lot for a board book, but it's got 35 die-cut common road signs. So these are little, like, cut-out road signs that you get to turn page by page and find out what they mean. And I think it's something that's just really fun to bring along in the car, really entertaining. And they can, you know, search and find on road trips. Have you found your yield sign yet? Have you found your park sign yet? And I joke that your kids will thank you a decade later when they take their learner's permit exam.
Yes, my son just did that a little while ago. This would have been very beneficial for him. So it's a board book, a very big, chunky board book, Caution, Road Signs Ahead, written by Tony Buzio and illustrated by Chi Birmingham. And why don't you give us your first pick next, Louise? What are you thinking about?
Well, I'm thinking that there wouldn't be a good Christmas without a Christmas book with Waldo in it.
Okay.
And Candlewick Publishers have come across every year with a specially creative book. And this one is Where's Waldo? A Santa Spotlight Search. So you have six pages that have an acetate, I think it would be acetate, picture in there. And then the child has a wand that slides under there, and it lights the picture up. So they have different Santas to pick out, and then, of course, they have to find Waldo. It's a real sturdy book. I think it would be easy to use to put the spotlight in, and it's sells for $18.99, and it's just very attractive, and it's a large picture book.
All right, and the perfect thing to snuggle up with a grandparent or someone else in the family, a great activity to do during the holiday season. That's Where's Waldo? Santa Spotlight Search by Martin Hanford. And Devin, that brings us to you. What picture books are on your mind?
Well, I don't have a board book exactly, but I do have a book that I think would make a really great baby gift. You might have to read it before the baby starts grabbing for the pages and everything, but it's called Bright Star by Yuyi Morales, and I think it's actually my favorite picture book so far.
Wow.
She's a Mexican author and illustrator, and it reminds us about the beauty and the innocence and the awe experienced at a new life being brought into the world. The reader is initially shown a fawn as it moves through the desert landscape with beautifully illustrated saguaro cacti and other plants and flowers and animals that you might find in the desert. With the good, though, comes the bad, and the creature comes face to face with the border wall and its environmental and human impact. The end of the book is hopeful because we realize that we're not alone and we are all in this world together, but there is a sense of urgency. I think Bright Star is kind of a love letter to children everywhere. And then, as I think I always say, don't miss the author's note, because as a reviewer shares, it's an invitation to learn more. And then one last thing, there is a mix of Spanish and English in this book.
Nice. And I'm looking at pictures right now and just the colors, and it's really a beautiful, beautiful book. Bright Star by Yuyi Morales. And that brings us back around to you, Amanda. What's your next pick?
Okay, bear with me on this title. My absolute favorite book of the year. It's hilarious. I'm giving it to everyone I know, every classroom I can get it into. It's called I Eat Poop, A Dung Beetle Story. It's written and illustrated by Mac Tett. He has a great sense of humor. Humor engages children in books like nothing else. They're the go-to favorites. The authors that engage humor are the fan favorites for my little readers. I love this book because it's adorable illustrations. It's hilarious. There's a morality lesson in it. It has tons of educational information. Doogie, the dung beetle, is a perfectly happy, well-adjusted little bug. But he's worried about what people are going to think about his lunch that he brings every day, his very favorite lunch, a poop sandwich. So he keeps this part of himself hidden. One day he's invited to hang out with the cool kids at school at lunch. They discover his lunch. He denies that it's his. They tell him to go dump it on a friend of his, the housefly, who obviously eats poop too. They think it's the housefly's lunch, but he's brave. He makes the right choice. He turns around and says, I can't do this. This is my sandwich. And everyone starts ganging up on him. But what they realize is that everybody has something a little different or unusual about them. And this is where we get into the fun STEM facts about all the different bugs, people who have ears in their armpits, taste food with their feet. And they all kind of realize we're all quirky. We can all own up to what makes us unique and different. But this book is just hilarious. So many fun plays on words. Like I said, I'm giving it to everyone I know. And I think all kids would love this one.
All right. I Eat Poop, A Dung Beetle Story, written and illustrated by Mark Pett. And Louise, it's your turn again.
Okay. I'm going to do one last Christmas book.
All right.
And it's a Lego book. It's the 12 Days of Christmas, and it is a count. It's a large picture book. It's a countdown through the 12 Days of Christmas, starting with the 1, going up, of course, to the 12. And the reader has to find specific objects in the pictures, and they're real bright, vivid, happy pictures. Of course, the characters are all Lego pieces. It's just a fun book to get ready for Christmas.
All right. The 12 Days of Christmas Lego style in this case. And that brings us back to you, Devin.
All right. I have found that the kids at my school, and it's kind of surprising, but not really because of the British Bake Off and everything, but they really love books about cooking. And I haven't read them this one yet, but I think they're going to love it too. So Tomatoes for Neela is the name, and it starts like you might expect, maybe a mother-daughter trip to the store that ends in the kitchen with a family cookbook and a family recipe. You know that the mother is missing her own mother in India, but she shares facts about different varieties of tomatoes and mentions all the different things that you can make with tomatoes, like pasta sauces or chutneys or salsas. And admittedly, there isn't necessarily a strong plot in this book, but you'll definitely learn a lot. The pictures are warm, and it will give you that cozy kitchen feel that hopefully you're feeling today, right? So, or tomorrow. And it's also, I think, the opportunity to give kids a chance to talk about foods that they like to make with their families.
Oh,
so
nice.
It's a cute one.
Well, and if your family watches a lot of cooking shows, the fact that it's written by Padma Lakshmi will also mean something possibly to your child if they're a huge fan of cooking shows. Tomatoes for Neela. And that brings us back to you, Amanda.
I love Inside Outside by Lewin Pham. She's a favorite illustrator of mine. Anything she works on is going to be outstanding. But I love this book because it helps kids process the massive change in their lives as a result of the pandemic. It doesn't explicitly reference COVID-19, but it does describe the way one day everything was normal, and then the next day everybody went inside. So it acknowledges the ways in which our patterns of interacting with one another and the world have changed, and it gets into like the emotional impact that those changes have had, the uncertainty, the adaptations we've made, but it ends very hopeful that, you know, we see this progression back to interacting with one another, taking care of one another, and that one day we will emerge fully again. So I like that it's acknowledging changes in their lives and gives hope for what's ahead.
Well, that sounds like not just for kids. That sounds like something all of us need to read right now. Inside Outside by, and I may not say the name correctly, Lewin Pham?
Lewin is how she pronounces Lewin. It.
Lewin Pham. Okay. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Inside Outside. And we have just 1 minute left before the break, Louise, but what's your next pick?
My next pick is How the Big Bad Wolf Got His Comeuppance. And it what we particularly love this book for is that the author is local in Iowa, not too far from the Paper Moon. He's in Elkader, Iowa. And his illustrations are spectacular. They're produced from a copper plate etching that are first hand-painted, and then they're hand-colored using watercolor. It's Arthur Geist. And then the story is a retake on The Big Bad Wolf, and that is written by Lisa Pope, who's a librarian in Elkader. And it's really a wonderful exposure to Iowa farms and retelling of the hilarious story of The Big Bad Wolf.
Great. How the Big Bad Wolf Got His Comeuppance, and that's by Lisa Wilk Pope and illustrated by Arthur Geisert. And of course, we love to support local artists and local authors in Iowa as well. We're going to talk more about the best new kids' books this holiday season in just a moment. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
Support for IPR comes from Orchestra Iowa, presenting the movie E.T., the Extraterrestrial on the big screen, accompanied by the Symphony Orchestra performing the score live, May 3rd and 4th at 7:30 at the Paramount. Tickets at orchestraiowa.com.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we are finding out about the best new books for young readers this holiday season. And of course, I know a lot of people are getting ready to give gifts for whatever holiday you celebrate. This is a great opportunity to come up with some very good ideas. With me today, Amanda Lepper of Dog-Eared Books in Ames, Louise White of Paper Moon Books in McGregor, and Iowa City-based teacher-librarian Devin Redman is also here. Right now, we are still talking about books for the youngest readers in our lives, picture books, and we'll move on up chronologically here as time goes on. But Devin, you've got another picture book to talk about, right?
Yeah, Watercress is a picture book that made me feel all the feelings. It's written by Andrea Wang, and it's illustrated by Caldecott honoree Jason Chin. And it's interesting because tomorrow we may or may not be with family members. And this is a book that is a testament that we don't always know other people's stories. And sometimes those people are actually right there in our own immediate family. And sharing those stories can be hard, but it's also important. So based on Wang's author note, this is a mostly autobiographical story of her feelings about digging for watercress at the side of the road in the muddy ditch in Ohio with her brother and parents, immigrants from China. And she says, "This story is both an apology and a love letter to my parents. It's also an encouragement to all children who feel different and to families with difficult pasts. Share your memories, tell your stories. They are essential. And then the mostly watercolor pictures are really beautiful in this book as well.
Well, you're almost making me tear up just thinking about it. And then it popped into my head that this would be perfect to pair with I Eat Poop.
Oh. So,
a similar message told in a very different way. And obviously this one's pretty it touches your heart, clearly. Yeah. Watercress by Andrea Wang and illustrated by Jason Chin. And Amanda, that brings us back around to you.
The next one for me is called The Children's Moon. It's written by Carmen Agra-Didi, and it's illustrated by Jim LaMarche, who did Rain Babies, which is a classic that a lot of people are familiar with. I love it. It's a fable that personifies the sun and the moon and their interactions with one another, and explains why we sometimes see a moon in the sky during the day. The moon is sad because it gets to come out when all the kids are going to bed and wonders what would it be like to be out and have the adoration of the children and see what they do during the day. So the sun and the moon come up with a compromise to allow the moon to see the children during the day. And that's called a children's moon, when you see a moon in the sky during the day, something I didn't know. So the back of the book has some fun facts on the stages of the moon, the phases of the moon, and other unique facts about what makes the moon glow and things like that. So educational bit along with that fable of personifying the sun and the moon.
Oh, that's so fun. The Children's Moon, written by Carmen Agra-Didi and illustrated by Jim LaMarche. And Louise, that brings us back to you. You've got one more picture book you want to talk about, right?
I do. It's Desmond Gets Free. It's written by Matt Meyer and illustrated watercolor illustrations by Kim Pham. And it's dedicated for all those working to build a new world of justice, equality, and compassion. And it's based on a speech by Desmond Tutu. And it's about a tiny little mouse in the jungle that has his tail stepped on by an elephant who fell asleep, and he's trapped. And all the other animals that he reached out to help him just walked away until he was finally saved. A quote from in the book from Desmond Tutu is, "If you are neutral in situations of injustice, you have chosen the side of the oppressor. If an elephant has a foot on the tail of a mouse and you say that you are neutral, the mouse will not appreciate your neutrality." Sweet little book that's got a big message in it.
Desmond Gets Free by Matt Meyer and illustrated by Kim Pham. Thank you so much, Louise. And Devin, that brings us back to you again.
Okay, my last picture book is called A Walk in the Words. Not A Walk in the Woods, but A Walk in the Words. And it's written by Hudson Talbot. And it's actually based on his experiences as a kid. So A Walk in the Words is about a boy who loves a story. He loves comics. He loves visualizing what's going on in the book. But he struggles with reading a certain words per minute, and he can't read fast enough for the tests at school. He wishes he could be like the kids who read fast, but he also knows that slowing down is a really important way to savor the story. He also knows there are famous people out there who have struggled with reading, like Picasso and Albert Einstein. And the boy in the story, he works hard. He figures out a strategy to use words as stepping stones to figure out more difficult words. And I'm not sure there can be enough books out there about people learning at different paces. So I would recommend this for lots of classrooms. And it's also going to be on our school's list of books for the next word of the month, which is empathy.
Oh, nice. A Walk in the Words. And I just love the cover of it. It's these trees, this boy moving through a forest, and these words all over these trees, and it actually looks a little bit menacing. But it's
I think they kind of are menacing for him a little bit as he tries to work through them, yeah.
All right. That's A Walk in the Words by Hudson Talbot. And that brings us back around to you, Amanda. And you can choose to talk about another picture book if you want. You can choose to move on up the ladder. It's your call.
I'll give you one more picture book.
Okay.
I just think it's the most fun read aloud. It's called Sounds Like School Spirit, written by Meg Fleming and illustrated by Lucy Ruth Cummins. I think this is fantastic. After more than a year of kids having their school schedules disrupted, time out of school, hybrid learning, this is the kind of book that really instills some excitement about being in school, some excitement and familiarity with routines that maybe have been forgotten. It's built with a call and response cheer for the reader and the listener to engage in. So, and lots of fun rhymes. I can see kids yelling this back and forth with their teachers. So, for example, Devin, being an educator, I'll have you work this one with me. If I say book, you say bag. Book.
Bag.
Yes, book.
Bag.
We say name, you say tag. Name.
Tag.
Name.
Tag.
Yeah, so it's just really fun. When I've read this at our story hours, it's just great.
Wonderful.
And so it's not necessarily a first day school book. It's just a feel good about being at school and feel good about those routines that really help build structure in classroom.
I think I this is not on my radar. This is Devin. It's not on my radar, but I think it. Yes. I'm so glad and thankful because I think it's a perfect book for maybe coming back from the holiday break.
Yeah, you can get the library rocking with that one. It sounds like for sure. All right. Sounds Like School Spirit by Meg Fleming. And Louise, that brings us back to you. And you're going to move up that ladder a little bit to talk about a book for early readers, right?
I'm into a chapter book.
Ooh.
For ages 7 to 12, grades 2 to 7. And it's Popcorn Bob. And it's a new character in chapter books written by Martin Vanderlinden. And Popcorn Bob is a kernel of corn, the main character, and they refer to him as an explosive character. Inside, there's only about 148 pages, and it has illustrations interspersed in between each paragraph. Sturdy book, fun book, and it'll lead into a nice series.
All right. So it sounds funny, and it probably makes you hungry, too.
Yes.
All right. Popcorn Bob by Marenke Rink and Martin Vanderlinden. Also, Nancy Forrest Flyer is the translator of the book. And we'll move back to you, Devin. So let's move up to an early chapter book from you.
Okay. The Treasure Troop by Dory Hillstead Butler is a great early reader. I think kindergarten through third or fourth graders would enjoy solving the clues and helping find the treasures in this book. So Marley, Cy, and Isla are three kids with connections to Mr. Summerling, who is an older, odd duck kind of member of their neighborhood community, who's always using his metal detector to find things. They can't believe it when they're called to the reading of his will, where they're told that treasure awaits them if they're able to solve the clues. And the villain in this book is actually Summerling's son, who was left out of the will for being what what they call in the will a rotten son. And when I told the kids about that omission, that he was left out, they like the looks on their faces were just complete flabbergasted. It was really funny. But this is a fun and very cute story. And kids love Hillstead's other series, like The Buddy Files or King and Kayla and The Haunted Library.
All right. That sounds like loads of fun. The Treasure Troop. I want to say trope there, but Treasure Troop an early chapter book. And Amanda, that brings us back to you. Do you have a book for early readers you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, I have a pair of books. They're called See the Cat and See the Dog by David LaRochelle and illustrated by Mike Wonutka, I believe is how he says his last name. These are the very perfect early reader book for someone who's just putting those sight words together into sentences. A kindergartner, someone who might be ahead of the game in preschool up until first grade, it builds confidence. It has just the right vocabulary words. They're drawing from the words that teachers are first teaching kids. But it's super funny. Like I said, humor really draws in especially reluctant readers. It plays on kind of the tropes of Dick and Jane books, like See the Dog, Watch the Dog Jump. But the humor comes from the first book, See the Cat, is saying see the cat wear the green dress. But we can see in the illustration that this is a dog. And the dog objects in its speech bubble saying, no, I'm a dog. So there's diversity of sentence structure there. The kids are in on the joke. See, the dog follows a similar pattern, but it's a cat that's being asked to play the role of a dog. See, the dog fetch, and the cat's like, I don't fetch. So these two books have been very successful with kindergartners who are just starting to read, and I really love them. I hope there will be another in this series.
All right. See the Cat, See the Dog by David LaRochelle and illustrated by Mike Wonutka. And Louise, that brings us back to you. Do you have another book for early readers?
Yes, a chapter book. I'm going back to The Diary of a Wimpy Kid, which I'm sure everybody has heard about. But Disney is going to be coming out with the movie. And so they've reissued the first volume. And now it has a novel. It's a novel with the cartoons in it that are illustrated and written, of course, by Jeff Kinney. And the story is about a little boy, Greg Heffley, his family and best friend, Rolly Jefferson. This will last into a lot of volumes of The Wimpy Kid. And now we even have a series about his friend, Rolly Jefferson. Real sturdy binding, lively colored cover, and it's just a great little book to start a reluctant reader.
All right, and I know that has set a lot of kids on the path to being readers over the years, and some parents who read aloud maybe don't love them quite as much, but
I think there's been, they've sold 250 volumes. Million.
Oh, my goodness.
250 million volumes. Isn't that great?
Yeah, that's really amazing. Diary of a Wimpy Kid by Jeff Kinney. And, of course, it's a novel in cartoons, almost a graphic novel, but not quite. There are lots and lots of pictures. It's really
an easy read.
Exactly. All right, Devin, what do you want to talk about next?
Well, I was wondering, should I go with nonfiction? Should I go with graphic novels?
Oh, my gosh. There's so many choices. Why don't we talk about chapter books?
Okay. Oh, chapter books. All right. So the first one that I want to talk about is Maya and the Robot. And community was the word of the month at our school earlier in the year. And I wish I would have read this book beforehand because it really would have made a great school-wide read aloud. So the book is written by Eve Ewing, who is a sociologist of education, and she's a poet, and she's a visual artist. She's located in Chicago, and I truly love her work. She won the 2020 Paul Engel Prize here in Iowa City, and then probably one last thing that I can't leave out is her dog's name is Charlie Brown Christmas, which I really love. But the book, Maya and the Robot, it too is set in Chicago, and it tells the story of a young girl who enjoys everything science. And when she's helping at her neighborhood corner store, Maya discovers and is then gifted a robot who was created by the store owner's son. And while learning about the robot and working on her science fair project, and trying to deal with her best friend not being in her class, Maya actually learns what it means to be part of a helpful and caring community. And I think this book would be great for second grade on up.
All right. And the Maya is a fifth grader, so I know that kids love to be a little bit aspirational.
That's a great
when
point.
They read,
that's so. A great point.
So yes. Up through fifth grade,
yes.
Probably.
Yes.
Oh, wow. It sounds great. Maya and the Robot, by Eve Ewing. And we are going to wait until after the break to talk about more books. We're learning about the best new books for young readers this holiday season. And I have with me this hour Devin Redmond, who is a teacher librarian in the Iowa City School District, also Amanda Lepper of Dog-Eared Books in Ames, Louise White of Paper Moon Books in McGregor. And we know that you have a lot of books that you love as well that you probably would love to be talking about on the radio right now. So we are collecting your suggestions this year. Go to iowapublicradio.com/talkofiowa, and there's a banner on the page that says, "What books did you love this year?" Click on that banner and tell us all about them. We want to hear what you love in reading right now. Also, I want to put a plug in for the Talk of Iowa Book Club. Our final installment of the Talk of Iowa Book Club is coming up in December, and we are reading The Joy Luck Club by Amy Tan, and we would love for you to read that with us. We'd also love for you to join our Facebook group. Just search for IPR's Talk of Iowa Book Club. We are going to take a short break. We'll be back with more great books for kids in a moment. This is Talk of Iowa.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe, and this hour we are talking about the best new books for young readers in your life. I have invited some experts to share their picks. Amanda Lepper of Dog-Eared Books in Ames is here, Louise White of Paper Moon Books in McGregor, and Iowa City-based teacher librarian Devin Redmond. And right now we're talking about chapter books, and, you know, mostly, I guess, upper elementary to early junior high, some of those kinds of books. And Amanda, you're up next.
One of my favorite chapter book reads in the middle grade realm was Gone to the Woods by Gary Paulsen. Gary is known for his book Hatchet. And sadly, he passed away this year. But I am so grateful that he took the time before his death to pull together this memoir. In the notes in the book, you'll discover that he referred back to childhood journals that he had kept. His childhood was not pretty. He refers to it as a lost childhood, but it shaped his later career. What he did to survive as a child really informed what became attractive books for kids about wilderness survival. He grew up in a home with volatile parents who abused alcohol, but some of his bright spots were a summer he spent with an aunt and uncle on a farm, and what he learned about fishing and building fires and providing for himself as a very young child. When he was forced to live with his parents again after time in Manila, where his father was stationed, where he pretty much spent several years as a street child trying to avoid his children or his parents. He moved back to the U.S. and pretty much raised himself in the basement of his parents' apartment building. He had to find ways to get food, and he was really disengaged from school and learning until he discovered the library and a librarian who coached him to write about what he was experiencing in a journal. And those journals became this memoir. It's beautiful. It can open eyes for children who have very well-adjusted childhoods, who have nurturing parents. It can open their eyes to what it might be like for someone who doesn't have those things. And then for a child who is maybe facing adversity, Gary's book can offer hope that there are other lives for them in their future, many more stories that they will live. and they can determine their own future.
Gone to the Woods by Gary Paulson. And if you're the child in your life has not had their hands on Hatchet, I'm just going to go ahead and say that is what you should get them this holiday season. But as my kids say, every time I say, oh, let's buy them Hatchet, they're like, everybody has it, Mom. Everybody already has it. So maybe they're right. But a wonderful author and an amazing book. Louise, that brings us back to you. What are you thinking about? Either early readers or middle grade books, whatever you'd like to talk about.
Well, I'm into another chapter book. It's okay. Egg Marks the Spot. And it's written by Amy Timberlake, and the pictures, drawings, are done by John Klassen, who did years ago, I Want My Hat Back. It's a story of Skunk and Badger, and Badger is a rock scientist. And the two friends set off on an agate-finding expedition. And it's the stories of their trip to go to a special place and looking for agates and maybe more. A little hedgehog follows along, and it's a delightful, sturdy little book for a beginning reader, not intimidating at all. Lovely cover and binding. This is the second book in the series, and the first one is the skunk and badger story. So it's a delightful book, a lot of fun, a lot of curiosity.
All right, that sounds great. Egg Marks the Spot, A Skunk and Badger Story by Amy Timberlake. And all right, it is, we've got about 10 more minutes to go. And I want to make sure that we get to the young adult novels because buying for teens is very, very difficult. So let's do another book for middle grade. And that can be any kind of book that you want, whether it's nonfiction or graphic novel, whatever. But Devin, it's your turn.
Okay. I am going to go with The Legend of Auntie Poe, which is a graphic novel, and it's on lots and lots of lists. My daughter actually read this graphic novel or comic book. When I say graphic novel, some people think that it is going to be like a bad graphic, and I don't mean that. It's like a graphic novel, like a comic book. So when somebody says that, that's what that means. But she read it first, and when I asked if she thought I'd like it, she said, oh, for sure, and I really did. So it's a finalist for the National Book Award. I knew that, but I didn't know anything about the book before I read it. May is a Chinese-American girl who lives in a logging camp in the 1880s after the Chinese Exclusion Act. She helps her dad in the camp kitchen, and she has some more than friendship feelings for her childhood friend, B. And then she loves to reimagine and tell stories about Auntie Poe, a giant Chinese matriarch with a blue ox, rather than Paul Bunyan. So ultimately, May is trying to stake her place in American society as a queer Chinese-American girl. But I love the friendships, the loyalties, and the political actions put forth in the story. And then I hadn't thought about it, but I read that it's also the idea of who gets to own a myth. And that was one of the things that Xing Yin Kor wanted us to think about. And don't miss the author's note at the end of that one. So all right. It's a graphic novel.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. And what ages? Seventh grade up?
No, I think probably fifth and sixth grade up.
All right. Yep. The Legend of Auntie Poe by Yin Kor. And Amanda, you're up next. And like I said, you get to pick what you want to talk about.
Well, I'll give you one more great chapter book that can bridge middle grade into middle school.
Okay.
It's from Rick Riordan, who is just an epic novelist, has a huge fortune, I'm sure, in the books he's written regarding Greek myths, Percy Jackson, etc. His newest book is a standalone called Daughter of the Deep, and it's a reimagining of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea by Jules Verne. It imagines that those stories that Jules Verne wrote were real, and the characters in them have descendants alive today who are in basically warring high schools that are preparing students for careers in science, exploration. And the main character that we follow is Anna Dakar. She is the descendant of Captain Nemo from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. The reason why I'm excited about this book is because, like books like Percy Jackson and Harry Potter, the imagination behind the storytelling, the characters, the worlds they build, the great adventure that keeps kids, you know, tied up in the story past their bedtime, really make readers. They turn kids who might be reluctant about reading into excited readers. They can't wait to read the next book in the series. This adventure that Anna goes on takes her out to sea to find the Nautilus that Captain Nemo sunk deep in the ocean. I loved it. And he didn't just create an adventurous story. He brought in so much history, STEM information, classic literature. He has characters with neurodiversity, into issues of climate change, periods, all that great stuff that really affects kids today. So he could have gotten by just writing us an adventure story, but he loaded this book up with lots of really important issues facing kids today. And it's a guarantee winner for boys and girls, third through even seventh and eighth grade. People love Rick Riordan, and they'll be excited to have another book by him.
Awesome. Daughter of the Deep by Rick Riordan. And that brings us to you, Louise.
The next book I have for the middle grades is One Life. It's an autobiography of Megan Rapinoe, the Olympic soccer champion. And this came out as an adult book, and then they did a young reader's edition for ages 8 to 12 or grades 3 to 7. And she, Megan Rapinoe, she tells stories of her growing up and becoming an activist. She champions the rights of the LGBTQ community, equal pay movement, and Black Lives Matters. So it's the start of a wonderful interest in autobiographies, and encourage even kids who can stand up, speak, make a difference, and take steps to making the world a better place. Really like this book. It sets a good example.
And she is incredibly charismatic as well. You know, and I think a lot of the kids get handed autobiographies about people that maybe they haven't heard of a while, who lived a while ago. And those are great, too. But this one feels really relevant, I'm sure, to a lot of young readers. One Life, a Young Reader's Edition by Megan Rapinoe. And all right, let's talk about teens. That can be graphic novel or that can be a YA novel. Devin, what's your next pick?
All right. My YA pick is The Genius Under the Table, and it's written by Eugene Yelchin. And I do have to admit that I like this author and I like books about Russia. So that's what led me to this.
A lot of people do.
Okay. I think sometimes I just wonder, though, if a lot of kids do. And that's why anyway. So Eugene Yelchin, he's living in Leningrad in the 1970s, and space is tight. He lives with his parents, his brother, and his grandmother in a one-room apartment where kitchens and bathrooms are communal. Eugene sleeps under the dining room table, and I couldn't help but laugh as his dad drops the tablecloth, giving Eugene the smallest bit of privacy. So this is a funny book, but the humor is kind of a little offbeat. His sleeping space, though, gives Yelchin the opportunity to borrow his dad's only pencil and draw on the bottom of the table. He fills it with doodles and caricatures, which are also found on the pages of the story. But his sleeping space also gives him the chance to hear adult conversations that leave him a little bit worried. He doesn't have a talent that will afford him a chance to get out of Russia easily. The end of the book does come pretty quickly. It might be a little unsatisfying, and it did leave me feeling a little bit sad, but I'm still really glad I read this book. I'd recommend it to an older reader who is interested in historical fiction.
All right. And by older, how much older?
I would say sixth and up. It's not labeled YA, but I just think the content is just geared towards a little bit of an older sixth grade and up
reader. All right. The Genius Under the Table, Growing Up Behind the Iron Curtain by Eugene Yelchin. And Amanda, what's your YA pick for us?
I picked All the Girls I've Been by Tess Sharp. It's about a girl named Nora O'Malley who was raised by a con artist mother who always forced Nora to play a role in whatever her current con was. Her mom ends up in jail after a job gone wrong. And Nora sees it as an opportunity to reinvent herself as just another normal girl in her high school. She does a pretty good job at that for a good number of years. But when she finds herself caught up in a bank heist with two of her friends, she has to fall back on all the cons she learned throughout her life to get them out of there safely. It's a really unique premise for a book. It does a really good job of keeping the suspense by flipping back and forth between the heist in the bank and Nora's childhood. So there's that back and forth of the timeline as you come to better understand her life as a young girl and how it informs how she'll get herself and her friends out of this tight spot. I just really love it. And high schoolers are going to think it's a great book. Because it's going to be a Netflix movie. Whenever they hear something's coming out, they race back to read the book first, which I'm really grateful for. Always read before you watch.
that is an incredibly important life philosophy, for sure. All right, Girls I've Been by Tess Sharp. And Louise, what's a teen read from you?
This is an important read. And it just came out 2 days ago. It's Killers of the Flower Moon, The Osage Murders, and The Birth of the FBI. This is an adapted version for young readers, and it's suggested for ages 10 and up. And it's a story that I never heard of, but it takes place in the 1920s, and the Osage Indian Nation were among the richest people in the world because their reservation was on top of oil. But one by one, the Osage people began dying by suspicious circumstances. And this is the first FBI's major investigation exposing a terrible conspiracy. This has been a bestseller as the adult version, made into this for young readers and soon to be a movie. But a very intense, moving story.
Killers of the Flower Moon, The Osage Murders, and The Birth of the FBI by David Gran. And that gives you the final word, Devin, but so briefly. You want to tell us about your last graphic novel?
Actually, can I go to a chapter book?
Yes.
Okay, this one is called Black Boy Joy, and it's edited by Kwame Mbalia, and it's filled with short stories by 17 really fantastic Black authors. Some are actually not all stories. Some are poems. Some are drawings. And I really did enjoy most of the stories. But what I really did love was that each piece of writing, in whatever form it took, was really about the joy lived by Black families. Whether it's the joy of cooking, talking about the ultimate superhero, or looking perfectly dressed for the first day of school, it was a very special and beautiful book.
Wonderful. Black Boy Joy, 17 Stories Celebrating Black Boyhood by Kwame Mbalia. And we are out of time, but Devin Redman, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, and thank you, Amanda and Louise, as well.
That's just what I was going to say. Louise White of Paper Moon Books and Amanda Lepper of Dog-Eared Books, thank you all so much. And this list will be up on our website, iowapublicradio.org, soon. We'll also share them on social media, and the podcast will be available by 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, so you will be able to get your hands on these lists. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Happy Thanksgiving.